Blog Talk Radio.
When you came in, the air went out, and every shadow filled up with doubt. I don't know who you think you are, but before the night is through, I want to do bad things with you. I'm the kind to sit up in his room, heart sick and eyes filled up with blue. I wanna do bad things with you.
Welcome to our 16th installment of the Black Girl Nerds podcast. My name is Jamie. I'm your host. Tonight is True Blood night, guys. Can't wait.
Yay!
Season 6 premieres. Yay! Season 6 premieres tonight. So this podcast, 90 minutes in length, is going to be devoted to everything related to True Blood. Before we get started on our podcast, just want to make a couple of announcements. Those of you who are reading Orleans by Cheryl L. Smith, you guys are doing awesome with giving us your feedback and your tweets about that. So thank you so much. A lot of you have already finished the book. So kudos to you on that, because I think I'm only on chapter 12. So our podcast with Cheryl L. Smith is going to be on July the 7th on Sunday night at 7 o'clock, 777. So make sure, if you haven't already, to follow the Blurred Book Club at Blurred Book Club on Twitter. And we're also on Goodreads, Blurred Book Club, and you can find us there. So you still have time to join into the book club. The actual due date is the 30th, but you may have some time because the actual podcast isn't until July 7th. So you might have that extra week there to finish up. And also, thank you to at Tabitha Brooklyn for buying a shirt from the BGN store. The store is still open, guys, so you guys have the opportunity to go to the BGN store link on blackgirlnerds.com, or you can go directly to the Tumblr site, which is www.bgnstore.tumblr.com, and get some really great T-shirts. It's summertime, so would love for you to look cute in your geeky apparel, and make sure you guys tweet those pictures when you do get that apparel in our store. So I am going to go ahead and pass the virtual mic over to our co-host tonight. Tonight we have Shelly, Ramon, Brittany, and Grace that's co-hosting and talking to us about True Blood. In that order, Shelly, Ramon, Brittany, and Grace, go ahead and introduce yourselves. Tell us what's going on now and any sort of social network shout-outs that you want to give to us right now on the podcast.
Hey, this is Shelly Ellis. I'm a contributor to Black Girl Nerds. I'm also an editor. That's my day job. And an author. I have a website, ShellyEllisBooks.com, where I basically talk about the books that I write, which is mostly women's fiction for Kensington Books. And if anybody is interested in any spicy reads, you know where to go.
Hello, this is The Ravolution. I'm a radio host out of WATB 1420 AM Atlanta, Georgia. I am also a vampire aficionado since probably age embryo. And after that, yes, that's an official age. That is an official age, by the way. You can look that up. And I'm an improvist out of Chicago, Illinois, IO Theater, Second City, Annoyance, wherever they want to book me and act the fool. That's where you can find me.
I don't even know how to follow that.
Hello, I'm Brittany. You can follow me on Twitter as NaturalGirl89. Also, I have a blog, The Lows and Woes of a Natural Girl, that's on Tumblr. And I am a Black Girl Nerd contributor. And I'm a mother and a wife, and that's about it.
Is it me? Okay. I'm Grace Gibson, Black Girl Nerd contributor, based out of Atlanta, Georgia, but soon we'll be moving to the Bay Area out in the West Coast. You can follow me at GBreezy20 on Twitter. You can also follow my blog, Black Savant Cinema, if you want to see the latest in the TV movies, get some reviews. And I just started up a new blog on my MARTA and BART travels. I take the public transportation and a lot of things go on. So I post it there. So, and looking forward to tonight. True Blood is definitely one of my faves.
Yay, good stuff, good stuff. So True Blood premiered in September of 2008. And I remember when I first started, when I first found out about True Blood, I had written a post about this about a couple days ago about that vampire life. And I remember seeing, like, posters of it on city buses and in the train station everywhere of this woman licking her lips with some blood coming down. I was like, what is this all about? And I got hooked from the pilot on. So my question to you guys is when and what first attracted you to True Blood when you decided to start watching it?
That's a good question.
I saw the beginning, but I really got hooked maybe after on season one, episode three, and then I could never stop watching it.
I was kind of a latecomer. I didn't start watching it until maybe the second season, and it was that I think HBO was doing, like, one of those, like, free watch our TV shows to try to get you to subscribe, and I watched it, and I loved it because I think this came out also around the time when Twilight was starting to get its big boom.
Yep.
And to me, True Blood is the antithesis of Twilight. Like, this is, like, down, dirty, vampires, werewolves. And this was actually the stuff that I grew up on having a greater idea of. This is the real horror and paranormal, as opposed to the Twilight crowd, which I was like, is not the real stuff. So I was attracted to this because I was like, oh, this is dirty and it's nasty and it's scary and it's fun.
I have to say, I was a late bloomer, too. I came in even a little later, about season three, and someone had told me about this character, raving about it at work, about this character, Lafayette. And I was like, I was just intrigued just by the description. And so I went on the HBO Go and did a whole retrack of season one and two and got hooked immediately and was like, yeah, I think this is another one that I'm probably going to be addicted to. And here I am, season six, and still into it.
For me, it was totally opposite. I read the trade papers, like Variety and whatnot, and so I had saw that Alan Ball had got the rights to True Blood, and well, to the Sookie Stackhouse novels, and like I went crazy, like I was like, ah! like really, like lost my mind, like no, seriously, it was like. Ah! And so, because I had picked up those little trashy novels. Jamie, don't you say a word. I had picked up those little trashy novels, and I had been reading them. And when Alan Ball got a hold of it, I said, listen, there are only three true geniuses in television. It's Shonda Rhimes, Larry David, and Alan Ball. And if he got this property, it was going to be completely insane, and he hasn't let me down from the first, like Jamie said, that first poster, I was like, OMG, it's going down. So I've been hooked since I heard that he bought the rights, that he had the rights to, and that he was producing it on HBO.
Yeah, Alan Ball is a genius, but he left last, the end of last season, he left. So, Well, yeah, what do you guys think about that? Brian Buckner is now the new showrunner. He's been with the show since the beginning, so I would guess that it's probably not going to change too much, but what do you guys think about Alan Ball leaving?
I'm very sad he's gone. I like the people they had. I loved how the characters interact, and of course, you know, I think they're still going to do a great job with the show.
Yeah.
I know I'm probably going to be a little off, but I'm praying it's not too crazy off.
No, I'm going to have to suspend judgment until I actually see the season.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I don't want to say like, oh, well, it's going to go to complete crap now that he's gone. But it always makes me nervous when someone jumps ship either way, because it makes me think, are they thinking, well, this has run its course and there's nothing else for us to do with this. Is that why he left? Did they like explain why he said that he didn't want to do the show anymore?
I don't know what was in, like, either Variety or in any of the news items about why he left, but, you know, I'm sure there was some behind-the-scenes political issues behind it, you know, because I think something that was similar to what happened with the Walking Dead showrunners as well. So I don't know why these showrunners,
right,
you know, go into those disagreements, but yeah, I'm guessing it's probably not going to change significantly because the guy that's running it now has been with the show from the beginning. But like you said, we shouldn't rush to judgment yet. But it should be very interesting to see how season 6 pans out. And
yeah,
on what Grace had said about Lafayette, that's what also got me hooked too. When he came out saying, hooker this and hooker that, I was just like, I love this guy. Like, he would be my BFF in real life. Like, we would totally be hanging out.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Who is your favorite character from True Blood and why?
Mine is definitely Lafayette. I mean, this guy, he keep it real. He's just, you never know what to expect with him. I mean, he goes left when you want him to go right, and, you know, vice versa. He keeps, you know, you get to laugh, you get to cry, like, everything about him, I'm like, yeah, this dude right here, we could be best buddies, you know, in real life. So that, I would have to say Lafayette for me.
I guess for me it's a tie between the, like, characters that I root for. It would be Lafayette and Eric. I think, like, it's hard to explain. With Lafayette, because he's so funny, and to me he knows how to make the best of a situation no matter what it is. I'm like, your boyfriend dying and all the other
right
stuff, the crazy stuff with his mama. I'm like, he can find humor in any situation. I think, and Eric is the same way, they always seem to crack a joke when everyone is just, like, completely, like, the moment is just horrific. So, yeah, those are my favorite, too.
I have a mixture, too.
Mm-hmm.
And some people might not agree with this. Of course, I love Lafayette, but I'm from, like, South Georgia,
mm-hmm,
and for some reason, Arlene reminds me of 90% of the girls in Georgia. So every time I see Arlene with the, hi, y'all, and as soon as she turns around, she's just like, do you see what she's wearing? That reminds me of the girls in Georgia, so I can remember how they acted, and I crack up every time I see her, which a lot of people don't like her, but I know people like Arlene. And, of course, Eric is just gorgeous. He doesn't have to say anything. He just there.
Seriously, yes.
The more the seasons have come along, he's more, you're starting to see more of him, you know, the true Eric, I guess. And I've always been a fan of him because he's, like, let the layers come out.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I love Eric.
Let me see. For me, it's really easy. The person that, like, completely was magnanimous and they jumped off screen from day one for me was Pam. Like,
oh my God, yes.
Such a complete wooden stake of a boner for Pam. So, I could impale someone with that when Pam comes on the screen.
Too bad she doesn't swing that way.
So what? I don't. She can just. I can just be her fang banger. I can be her total fang banger. She can use me. She can drink me up. She can knee me in the nuts. You know what I mean? In Fantasia. I don't care. So like, she can spit on me. I don't care. She can do whatever she wants with. And number two, they're tied. It would be Russell Edmonton. Listen, any show,
really?
Anything. Yes, you're only as good as your villains. And that dude is a kook. He is a kook. And you can't have a good bad guy like Russell Edgerton and have such great hair helmet. Like, that dude's hair helmet is unreal. Come on, last season with the fairies, and he's getting all high on fairy blood, and his hair just didn't. Oh, my God, stop it. I'm getting another boner here for that hair helmet. I'm just telling you. This is how I roll now. Russell Edgerton is it. Is it.
Gosh.
Well, for me, it is a bit of a tie between Lafayette and Eric. What I love about both of them, and I think what they did was they took some of the elements of their characters in the books and did like a switch. Because Lafayette is not as charismatic or as interesting in the books as he is on the show. Huh. And Eric is very eccentric. He's actually pretty flamboyant in the books than he is on the show. So I think they kind of mixed their personalities a bit, and I really love both of them. I love Lafayette, of course, more on the show. But, yeah, it's hard for me to actually choose one over the other. I like the flamboyance of Lafayette. I love the fact that he has these great head scarves that I couldn't see myself. Somebody on YouTube or on Twitter said that he should do like a YouTube tutorial on those headscarves because he does them so perfect.
It's like his little turbans.
And on top of that, his hair scarves are so pretty.
Oh, yeah.
How did he do that?
His eyeliner and his mascara is really pretty, too. His eyeshadow.
He wears false eyelashes even though he cooks over a grill all day. And I'm like, that's dedication right there.
I'm
he
a girl.
Not go out
I cannot put eyelashes on to save my life, and his eyelashes are perfect.
Exactly.
They really are. So, and I love the hotness that is Eric. Obviously, he's just all sweet, hottest, Swedish hotness, and he's adorable. So, and I liked him better when his hair was cut than when he first came out looking like Thor.
I would agree.
So. But now he's pretty hot. On Twitter, LaTanya, BGN co-host, she's live tweeting with us now. She asks, if you all could think of one word to describe True Blood for someone that hasn't seen it, what would it be?
Just one
sexy
word?
Sexy would be my word.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was about to say sexy too. I'm thinking of another one.
I was thinking of debauchery.
I would say capillaries.
Okay.
I'm making it up.
Google that, guys.
Google it. Capillaries.
When in doubt, Google.
Oh, God,
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, it's hard to use one word. That's a hard one, but
yeah.
True Blood has so many elements to it. It really can't describe it in one word. And there's so much going on. There's a lot of characters. There's a lot of storylines. I want to ask you guys about storylines that have just originated, especially within the last two seasons. It just seems like they're kind of all over the place. What do you guys think about that?
The storyline with Bill and the vampire coven and then him going crazy and thinking he's a god, I was actually very disappointed. I mean, Bill has never been my favorite character to begin with, but I was truly disappointed in that one. And I was like, this guy has been around for hundreds of years, and he's with a coven for like a month, and he does a complete about face and personality. Like, I kept waiting for, like, oh, okay, so there's some secret alternative mission that he has with this. And it never happened. And I'm hoping that maybe this season will redeem him, but I was mm-hmm. really disappointed with that.
Anybody else on that one?
Well, just on that fact of the coven, you know, I don't have, like, we'll really see how this plays out tonight, really. You know, like, the seed was planted, you know, he went full-on postal, and we'll see where it goes, right? But the stuff with Lafayette, that's where I'm like, okay, where are we going with this stuff? Because it's really sad he can't keep a boyfriend. His boyfriend is now a ghost, and, you know, this dude is now, you know, some extra-level type of shaman. It's getting really weird,
yeah.
No, it is. It's getting really weird. It's like taking a character who we don't need it to be that far out with it. He was brilliant in his simplicity. You know what I mean? And now they've added this layer that I'm kind of confused about. Like when you just go back to like the first season with Tara's mom and all of that. Like some of that stuff could have easily contributed or shown itself very early on. You know what I mean? But, and I would love to see if Alan Ball left because they were saying, hey, oh, give Lafayette this, you got to do that. And because that would make sense to me. If you were like, okay, guys, you guys are getting away from, you know, what I really want to do with the show. Real quick thing, because, you know, we're talking about True Blood, and, you know, this is why we're all here. The fact that Jason isn't a werepanther. Yes, thank you, Alan Ball, because that was always really stupid in the book to me. It was very stupid. And the fact that they kind of even made a joke about it in the show was brilliant, so I loved how they did that. And it seems like he's coming back to the stuff that he was doing with the church. I think this season tonight is going to be really exciting, and I think we're going to start seeing where everything is really going to go from last season.
So,
Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, the one season that kind of got me, and somebody might have to help me out, the one season where they had the witches, that's probably the season where I was kind of like in limbo because it just, they were losing me a bit.
Yeah,
and I was hoping that we were going to get back, and they did, thank God. But I think that was probably the one season where I was like, what the hell is really going on here? Not quite understanding these witches. Maybe I needed to read the book, maybe not. But, yeah, that was probably my only gripe if I really had one.
Yeah. I would say the witches for me, too. But also with that storyline, there was a lot of stuff going on. Like, the Jessica thing had me confused.
Yeah.
I like Jessica, but on that same note, she was just like, come on. That makes her, like, hard. Then they try to make her soft again. I'm just like, okay, either she's going to be a thug or she's going to be a nice person. Don't even decide.
Right.
Decide of what Jessica is. She goes from being like, you know, to crying. So I don't know. That got me confused with that part.
Speaking of Jessica. Oh, go ahead. No, I don't want to cut you off.
No, it's just a lot of characters. It was just too much going on.
But speaking of Jessica, I wonder, are they going to bring Hoyt back? Like, how is that going to happen? Because he goes off to Alaska and she erases his memory, right?
Yeah.
So I'm like, is that character done?
I'm thinking so. I mean, Hoyt wasn't really that well received by fans.
He wasn't really that dynamic of a character to me.
He really wasn't. He wasn't. And he's not prominent at all in the books. I mean, Ramon, you can speak to this because you've read all of them, right?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
Don't, why did you put that on blast? Don't let people know my personal. See, you can't tell Jamie nothing. Go ahead, Jamie. Go.
There's nothing. The books are awesome, and it's appealing to, you know, guys just as much as women, so it's mm-hmm. I don't think it's like chick lit at all. So don't be ashamed of that.
Go.
But no, I was gonna say he's not that prominent in the book, so I'm just guessing that that's gonna be the end of Hoyt. And just from the way the audience received his character, because I remember seeing on message boards and threads people hating on Hoyt. I don't think a lot of people care if he's there or not. So, you know, he's not really that relevant of a character at this point. So I don't see him coming back.
I don't want them to bring Hoyt back because they made it too mushy between him and Jessica. Like,
yeah.
like they were just like puppy dog love to the point where it's like the teenagers you see in the mall that kiss each other all the time, they annoyed me. just couldn't do it.
It's, you know what, I want to chime in on that. That's a great point, and I think you're spot on. And as corny as this may sound, I loved it because it was a complete parallel to Jessica and her youth and her and what she was, and that, you know, because truthfully, Hoyt is, you know, pretty much a statutory rapist. We all forget that Jessica is a high school aged girl who was taken home, and Hoyt's been, you know, fang-banging this chick for a while. But nevertheless, I thought that type of innocence, that the weird innocence was needed in the show, and it was cute. It was very cute, and I liked it. I really did like it, the dynamic of the show. And I think that if you see where Jessica's going and her unraveling, I think that the only person that's going to really be able to pull her back together will be Hoyt. So don't get too excited believing that Hoyt's not coming back. I think he's going to come back. That's just my opinion as a writer, as someone who knows how stuff goes.
Yeah.
You don't think Jason could do that?
Because no,
I thought
no.
he and Jason kind of developed a relationship.
No. Jason is so selfish and
yeah,
so oblivious.
Yeah, but they were trying to change him last season. Like, no. He's going through all this self-examination of, like, all I do is sleep with chicks. Like, and didn't he sleep with, like, his teacher, and he figured out,
yeah,
like, this is just sad. This is pitiful. So I thought they were trying to evolve him as a character, saying, like, Jason, you can't do the same thing that you've been doing for the past 20-some-odd years. You're going to have to grow up. And he and Jessica were starting to lean on each other as friends.
And I think that's why, though. And I think that's a great point, because I think he wants to get away from the sex stuff. And I think that he's going to do that. But I think her heart has always been, like, she's just torn, just like Sookie. Sookie was torn between Bill and Eric. And I think Jessica's the same way. They're having another parallel dynamic happening. And I believe that that's what's going to happen. It's just my belief, you know, in my humble opinion. Don't take anything about it. Don't write any checks on it. Just my humble opinion.
Well, on Twitter, Leslie Mack says, Hoyt is one of the only humans left. He was a decent foil, and I liked his interactions with Jason. So maybe for that reason, that would be a, you know, good way to bring him back, because he is kind of technically the only regular guy on the show at this point. I guess aside from Jason, since they're not going with the Were-Panther storyline like they did in the books. But
well, there's Terry.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Terry.
I like
yeah.
Terry.
I like him too. He's funny.
Hopefully he won't have any more military flashbacks this season and
get
all crazed out.
And everybody forgets about poor Andy. Andy, whose storyline is now that he has a kid with a fairy.
Right.
Yeah, that's another storyline. And I'm like, where are you going with this?
This leads me to my next question. What would you say was your favorite storyline so far in the series, and what is the worst storyline?
I love when Russell first came on the show, and his just him being so over the top. I loved how he just didn't give, you know, a damn. He just did whatever he wanted to, and I loved that. My least favorite season was the Witches season. And I think there were some good actors in the season, but it was just too much going on. They had too many storylines.
Well, I thought the Maynard dragged on way too long. I love Michelle Forbes to death. I've loved her since instant role on Battlestar Galactica, but that was when she was what's her name? But when she was role on The Next Generation, then on Battlestar Galactica, you know, she's a brilliant actress, she's beautiful, but that Maynard storyline went too long and too far for me. But everything else, I'm really, you know, some of the werewolf stuff, some of the tech stuff, some of the interactions have been kind of like for me. They haven't always been like totally awesome. But yeah, just, you know, I'm waiting for some stuff to go further before I declare this. Oh, and everything with what's his name's brother, I hated it. All the stuff with the shifter and his, oh my God, that, listen.
Oh,
everything,
yeah.
With Sam's brother was
Sam's
horrendous.
Brother.
Oh my God.
I like that storyline. I mean, the brother was annoying, but I liked the dynamic between the two of them and, you know, the contentious relationship that they had, the contentious relationship that Sam had with his parents. And so I thought that was an interesting element of the show. It showed more.
I didn't mind that one that much. Yeah, I didn't mind that much. I liked the Russell storyline, and I also liked how they incorporated Eric's story into Russell's story.
Mm-hmm.
That
yeah.
you understood Eric's motivation and even how he became a vampire, and it went back to Russell. The only thing I will say is that then I'm like, well, all this hatred kind of just like dies, it seems, between them the previous season. Because I'm like, if he slaughters your family and you basically become a vampire as a result of that, and then you guys come back around, you kill his boyfriend after you have sex with him, and all of this hatred and all of this buildup, and then you're kind of in a coven together and you kind of just let it go.
Mm-hmm.
That was the only thing. And that's another thing that sometimes I feel like, sometimes with True Blood, that they'll pick up storylines and then they'll kind of just drop it. Because I felt like the same thing happened with the fairies. Like, you had the first time the fairies are introduced, they actually don't seem that very nice. That they were, I was wondering where they were going with that when she meets her grandfather and finds out that he's been suspended in this place with fairies all this time. And they're ugly and they actually seem kind of mean. And then the next season, when the fairies come back, they're all beautiful and nice, and they keep humans for a long time, but they don't seem as villainous anymore. So to me, sometimes in the middle of True Blood, there will be these storyline shifts that I'm like, well, did the writers just suddenly change their mind in the characterization, or they just don't think that storyline had any more potential, or where are you going with this?
You know, it's funny, I don't think that you continue it. Like, you show it, you show people what's going on, and then you move away from it. So the real fans, the diehard fans, when there's a callback, you know what I mean? Then you're like, oh, yeah, they are ugly and hideous. They are evil. You know, like, you feel more rewarded because you've been there from the beginning and you caught all the subtle nuances of the show. And again, that's what I'm talking about. Those little things like that, when they reappear later in the series, we're going to be excited. That's why I said, I want to wait till tonight in season 6, because this will be a very telling season for a lot of those quote-unquote plot holes, because they're plot holes now, but they may tie them up. So that's why I'm not really quick to rush.
But isn't Russell dead?
That stuff.
But Russell's dead. So to me, it's like you're never going to come back to what happened with him and Eric. It was like, okay, well, we're in a coven, and I'll just let it go. To me, that's what I'm saying. I'm like, character motivation, if you're going to have conflict. I thought he was.
That's what I'm saying.
I thought he exploded.
Okay. All right. We'll
see. Like, so at least in Vampire Land, when they usually explode, they're dead.
True.
This is true.
I'm like, I don't see how you can bring them back. Unless you're, and that's another thing, are you going to create different rules now? You've had these rules for 5 seasons, and then suddenly season 6 is like, look, he's back. It's like, no. You set up this universe, you stick to the rules.
Well, but how much fairy blood did he ingest, though? Like, we're going to see, like, they're already making allusions to Bill walking out in the sunlight. And it's just, I don't know, you know, and I'm not quick to be upset either if he comes back, you know what I mean? But at the same time, if they kill him off and they're bringing another baddie, then I'll be it, you know. Then so
oh,
be it.
I'm going to be mad as hell if they bring him back. I'm like, don't set up the rules and then just change it. I hate it when shows do that.
They're
like, well, we like this character, so we're going to bring him back. It's like JR is the whole season. You think the guy is dead, and then he comes back. Don't do that with True Blood. I like the show. Don't do that to me.
That's all I got. Well, I think, now, is it true that, and I haven't read fully on the storylines, because I think they've been pretty good about making sure they don't release too many spoilers, but Rutger Hayer, he's going to be on the show this season. I believe he's going to be the new villain. Is that... Am I wrong in quoting that? I think I saw that somewhere. Rutger Hayer? Howard?
Is that the one, the blonde guy, or the guy that, like, Sookie is thinking that tried to come after her when she was a kid and killed her parents?
Warlow. Yeah.
Warlow,
yeah.
Yes, I think he is supposed to be the new villain.
Yeah, and it makes sense because he's a heavy, and you're going to have to dedicate a lot of time to Warlow. And Rutger Hauer is awesome. For all us nerds out there, Blade Runner, Rutger Hauer.
Somebody said he's really nice, but he always plays crazy people. But they said in real life he's a very nice guy.
Huh.
Yeah.
There's that.
He's a good actor.
There's that.
And then also this season, Journey Smollett from The Little Girl is she's not a little girl anymore, but
yes, hunty. Snap for that one. Yes. She's not a little girl anymore. Yes.
So what is she is she like a shifter? What is she supposed to be?
I think she's a shifter, or she works as an analyst for the shifters. She's gonna be the shifter. I don't know too much about it, because there's some spoilers on the internet about season 6, and I'm like, I don't want to know. So I was trying to read much information. But yeah, it's good that she's going to be on the show this season. What do you guys think about any of the characters who have died in past seasons that you really like, that you would like to have come back to life? Many.
Well, do we count, like, well, okay, you said die, because I was thinking, I'm not too much of a fan of Tara being a vampire. I'd, like, rather her be back to a human. So does that count?
That should count. I agree with you. I don't like the fact that they made that decision to make her a vampire. She's just not, she's not Tara anymore. She's just this, like, this vampire. Just goes crazy at a moment's notice. So, and then the whole love storyline. Oh, no.
I mean, her character was already struggling, so it's like, yeah, this didn't help it at all.
No.
Oh.
I actually miss Lafayette's boyfriend. I thought he was nice.
Yeah.
What are they going to do with that storyline? That's another one that's a loose end that hasn't been tied yet.
Yeah.
I want Tara's mom back. Like, I would love to see her... with, you know, like, because their dynamic was probably the best thing that dealt with Tara, and I would love to see, like, how her mother would react to her being a vampire now, and that she's married to a minister. Like, I think that could be some very fertile grounds for some real fireworks there. But, you know, I love, you know, family dynamic. You know, I love that stuff with Sookie and her grandmother. That was always good stuff there. Sookie and Jason, you know, that family. I love that family dynamic, but I would love to see her mom back. I would love to see her mom back. And that's just a small character. That's for little stuff. Like, not for, like, I hope you guys don't think I'm talking, like, you know, as a...
Yeah, I mean, like, a few episodes.
Yeah, a few episodes here and there. But that's it for me. I don't know. Everybody else can stay dead. I don't care.
Yeah. And I was really sad when her grandmother died. Sissy's grandmother.
Yeah.
I was about to cry. I was like, oh my God.
I would agree with that.
She found her, and that's what I was like, oh no. But like, I was sad. I don't know if I wanted to bring her back, but I liked how calm Sissy was when her grandma was around.
Yeah.
She was. Yeah.
Yeah.
So for me, and don't judge me, guys. I would like Marcus to come back.
Marcus had this. Marcus was the werewolf that was killed. He just had this swagger that I really liked, even though he was just really just, I don't know, dirty.
A jackass.
The one who fought Alcide?
A douchebag. Yeah.
Yeah.
Really? Yeah. I like him.
I'm not judging.
I know. Yeah, I always get that reaction. They're like, you liked Marcus? I really did. I really liked him. So that's who I would choose to come back. And seeing that contention between him and Alcide, because Alcide needs a better plot, I think, at this point.
I would agree. His is kind of just limping along. And
yeah. So.
Is that a pun? Did we just get a werewolf pun? Oh, my God. Did we just get a werewolf pun? We're going to make it a werewolf fun.
Okay.
Somebody go ahead and tweet that. We're limping around, werewolf fun. Boom, boom.
Ooh.
There we go.
And another person I'd like to come back is Eggs. I totally love Eggs. He was cool.
I did too. Yeah,
so. And that was like, I had hope for Tara when her and Eggs got together. I was like, okay, she's going to have a real good, solid relationship. And then he dies. I'm just like,
just,
man.
Yeah. They jacked him up real bad.
They really did.
Haunted. Egg was very haunted.
Yes, he was. Oh, yes, he was fine. Yes. I want to come back. So we've got someone on Twitter who's celebrating a birthday tomorrow, and she just wants to give us a birthday shout-out. Rihanna.
Happy birthday, Rihanna.
She's turning.
Yo, Rihanna.
Happy birthday.
That's it. That's all I wanted to say.
That's all you got to say.
That's it. I know I sounded all dramatic with my thugged out intro, but then it just went back to just being middle class, you know, Huxtable. So I'm sorry. Hey, that's all we got. Yep. Happy birthday, Rihanna.
Belle Davis on Twitter says that she misses Franklin. I thought he was menacing and hilarious. Oh, man. Franklin was all over the place.
Which one was Franklin?
He's the one that pretty much kind of raped her the whole season.
Yeah, the English guy.
Oh,
yeah.
Tortured Tara and just made her into a totally different person, and she's all, like, paranoid.
Oh, yeah. He's pretty cool.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
He was too much.
So, really quick, we'll talk about the books. I think it's just a couple of us that's read the books here, or has anybody else read them?
I haven't read them all, but I've only read a few of them.
Okay, cool. I've only read a few myself. Do you guys think the books are better or worse?
I want to say this real quick, Jamie. As far as the books and the show go, right, Alan Ball changed the game and made it so you can be fans of either or both, and they are completely onto themselves, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, just from I'll never forget watching the first season, and when they saw that body in there, and I said, damn, they're going to kill Lafayette, you know, because you know that in the books. And when you come back in episode one, season two, and Lafayette is painting his toe as a complete tongue-in-cheek move, I said, oh, my God, he's changed the game, and I loved it. So for that being said, like, they're both different, you know, like the books. Remember the interdimensional warriors, female warrior group? That at the hotel and the whole wedding between Russell and what's her name? Because she's dead now. The queen of New Orleans, her. Like, that was so awesome. It was just a lot of little fun stuff in the book that I don't think that they'll ever do because it's just kind of corny and it wouldn't work on the show. But, you know, I don't know. I love both of them for who they are. And I think that the show, what I like to call fix things, they fix certain dynamics, and they fix a lot of stuff from the book, you know. But I like Sookie a little bit more in the book. She's a little bit more voluptuous, you know what I mean? She's a little thicker. I like her shape better in the book, you know, because it's my preference. Ah, late as BGN, the Revolution, like some thick. And so, Suki, I just like I liked her portrayal in the book and the things like that. And then Jason and the parents and the fairies are much more badass in the book. Like, I love the fairies in the book. So that's it. That's it.
Yeah, Suki in the books, she's a lot more smarter. She's more worldly. She's a historical nerd. I don't know why they dumbed her down on the show. Like, I think someone mentioned to me that she was just like this dumb backwoods redneck on the show, and she's not that way in the book. So Anna Paquin
makes me
want to
go read the book.
Yeah, Anna Paquin's doing a good job of portraying Suki, but they dumbed her down on the show. She's not
a lot. Yeah,
she's not like that in the books. So she's because Charlene Harris, she's a mystery writer. She writes also like detective novels. So Suki's very much like a detective. You know, as well as her telepathic abilities, she also likes to solve crimes and solve mysteries. So that element of her character is very profound in the novels compared to what you see on the show. So, and then, like I mentioned before, Eric is very flamboyant. In book three, he's at a party where he's wearing this pink leotard, and he's very open with his sexuality. But they depict that on the show as well. But he's very bisexual in the book.
All
of the vampires are bisexual, I think, pretty much in the books.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. So.
I love that very judgmental. That was so. I love. Oh my God, that was awesome. Woo, that was blood boiling. Okay.
Hey,
we know we're definitely doing the Black Girl Podcast. Woo, that's it now. Go, girl. Okay. Stereotypes aside, let's keep it moving.
Well, I haven't read the books, but I've read interviews with Charlene Harris, and she says that she's okay with what they've done with the series, that she trusts them. And so I'm like, so if the actual author is like, I handed over my characters to these people, and I think they've done a good job, no matter how many changes they make, I'm good with it.
I think, didn't she, like, pretty much sell the rights to her books to HBO?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
Yeah,
they
own the options now.
They own
because remember, she actually, someone had bought it out as a film and a lot earlier, and that ran out. That ran out because they were actually really developing it for a film, and then that option ran out. Then Alan quickly, as soon as it ran out, he went and got it, and so now HBO has it. So they pretty much own Charlene, so, you know, she can just whine and go all the way to the bank.
Yeah, she's taking that all the way to the bank, definitely.
All the way.
Because I know they're doing that, or they did that with Jeffrey Lindsay, his books. He wrote the Dexter books, and he sold the rights to Dexter. And I know book one is exactly like season one of Dexter, but then after that, it's a completely different type of show compared to the book. So I was wondering if they did the same thing with Charlene and True Blood. So sounds like that's pretty similar. So are there well, you guys mentioned to me some of your favorite seasons. Is there a season? Well, yeah, you mentioned some seasons that you didn't really like. Is there a season that you thought could have been improved a little bit more? Or is there a storyline that you would like to see flourish in season six?
From the book, yes. They kind of touched on it in the show. I can't remember what that character's name was, the little blind guy who Suki, he's also a telepath as well. In the book, you know, I'm not giving away any spoils or anything, but in the book, they become really good friends, and she teaches him how to do stuff with his mind, and he ends up working for the vampires and all of that kind of stuff like that. So, like, if they brought him back and more of the hybrid humans, because, you know, Jason is one, but his is more of the attraction thing, and they have used that. But I would love to see them really get back to more Suki. you know, it's so many other people. Like, I rarely see Sookie. Like, this is how the show started. So I just want her to get some traction back as the heavy of the show, you know. So
She wasn't a lot in it last season because, you know, she was pregnant, so.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
that makes a whole lot of sense.
So that's why
Listen,
they kind of were a lot.
Well, Lisa Rashad went nonstop on the Cosby Show, and she was pregnant, like, a couple times. So if they could hide her preggers behind grocery bags and raise the island up to make her not be so pregger, then fine. They can do it, too. Sookie, figure it out, Alan Bobby. You're gone now, so I don't know. We can't do this anymore. I need my Sook.
Well,
Sookie is mine.
There's a lot more nudity on True Blood than there ever was on The Cosby Show. So it would be really hard with the amount of sex scenes that Sookie has endured season after season to not show that big belly.
Really?
So I guess.
Keep it moving. Blah.
No. I do understand, too, the practicality of, okay, this person is pregnant and she's the main character, so we're going to have to write around her to figure out how to do this. But I completely agree. Just including her more now that she's not pregnant would be a good idea.
Are there any characters that you want to see dead?
Well, I think we established Bill as one of those, probably.
Yeah.
I'm done with Bill. Yeah, I feel really bad for saying that, but, like, I can't.
Yeah.
The first season, he seemed like, oh, he's such a nice guy. And then the more you see him, like, oh, he's a dick. Like,
yeah.
I can't. I just want him to go away.
So everybody feels that way about Bill? Just kill him? Kill Bill?
Yep. Don't
hang
with him.
I'm not with that. I'm not on the Kill Bill bandwagon. I'm not on the Kill Bill bandwagon. Not yet. I want to see season six. I want to see if he completely tanks this season for me, then he should be given to the true death. I don't care after that. But right now, I just really want to see where they are going with the Billis. I know it's retarded. It's a retarded storyline.
I know.
I want to see where it goes, you know. I just want to see how far the rabbit hole goes. I'm a sucker.
I would like to think that there's some redeeming quality still left in Bill, like it was in season one, and I would hope that that would somehow rehash itself in season six. But if it doesn't, I'm all for him just dying and just going. There's nothing left for Bill at this point. He's just annoying, and Billith has taken over his whole personality. He's completely deceived Sookie the whole time. And
yeah.
I mean, I miss the romance and the love that happened between them in season one. But now it's just like, I don't like him in this personality where he's mean and cold and detached. It's just, I don't know. I'm not feeling it.
Sounds like a real life boyfriend. Who are we talking about now? Are we talking about
I was team Bill at the beginning. Like, you could not, you could tell me no wrong when it came to Bill. Like, I was all about him. People were like, oh, you don't like Eric? I was like, no, I love me some Bill Compton. But now, like, since he's evolved and basically changed into, I mean, he's done a complete 180 when you think about it from the earlier seasons.
Yeah.
I just,
yeah.
I don't like him anymore. I feel just as betrayed as Sookie did, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I feel like that.
I think that as a fan, like, we all feel, like, and that's why I want to see where it goes, because he's going to redeem himself. Like, something, there's going to, because Bill is smart. He's like we talked about how old he is. Like, he's very clever. Like, I think, honestly, even though Eric is older and Eric is very clever, I think Bill is more clever than Eric. Because Eric always has that warrior's mentality, and Bill is very sophisticated, and he's a Southern gentleman. And I think that every single thing that he's been doing ultimately leads to Sookie's protection. I still feel that it's there, so that's why I'm holding out. You know, I'm a hopeless romantic. I'm holding out season six. We get it fixed. Season six, get it fixed. That's what we're doing here. Season 6, get it fixed. Keep hope alive.
Season 6, get it fixed.
I know. Bill started to lose me when it was revealed that he actually started dating Sookie, not coincidentally, but because the Queen had sent him to find out about her.
Right.
And so to me, it was like, I'm like, well, at least Eric is upfront about why he initially started stuff with Sookie. But I kind of felt like Bill pretended season after season after season that this was a legitimate love affair, and I'm like, well, no, actually, you started off pretty much like Eric, but Eric is the bad guy.
That's
so
true. That's a good point.
So as it's gone more and more, then I'm like, okay, so is Bill just as bad as Eric, but he's just not honest with himself?
Yeah, Ashley on Twitter said, I would say Bill is less afraid to expose his layers. Eric tends to be one note.
Huh.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Eric is just real. Like, he just, you know, he doesn't have anything to hide. He pretty much has no scruples. So,
yeah.
And Bill, I think Bill does. There's a lot more layers to Bill, I think, than we have been led to see or believe as viewers of the show. And that's what I'm hoping season 6 will reveal to us, that there's a lot more going on with Bill's story. And I really would hope to think that the Queen isn't fully responsible, that there were some moments when he was with Sookie that he did fall in love with her genuinely. But, you know, again, that's me hoping that the old Bill comes out. I don't know.
But I think, like, Eric eventually fell in love with her legitimately, too.
Yeah,
So that's what I'm like. I'm like, so are you guys the same guy, but Eric's just more honest about it?
Yeah, I would agree. I think Eric is more honest about that. And that's a very interesting irony of his character as a so-called villain. A couple people, there was one person on Twitter that says, I'm sad that this podcast isn't about the Vampire Diaries. I don't watch the show. I don't know. Do you guys watch the Vampire Diaries?
I've never watched.
Yeah.
I've watched a little. It's like, to me, it's like if you had like a graph of the distance between Twilight and True Blood, Vampire Diaries would be somewhere in the middle. So it's like it's not as far as True Blood, but it has a little bit more personality than Twilight, in my opinion.
Yeah. I don't know.
I have no comment there.
No comment either.
We ended up, like, really quiet. Like, we were all, like, hoping someone would say something halfway positive, but it was, like, cricket.
We're being nice with our silence. And I bring that up because I wanted to ask, among the vampire shows, which shows would you think rank just as well or even better against True Blood?
Would you
put True Blood at the top?
That's current
and past shows, past Vampire, like the Buffys and Angel.
Okay.
I thought you meant right now.
Forever Night is behind True Blood. Forever Night was really, really good. I love that show. It went off too quick.
It was good.
Which one?
Forever Night.
It was awesome. It was awesome. What was the Aaron Spelling show? Oh, my God, that show was awesome. I used to write fan fiction for that. Never tell anybody. What was the name of it, though? Oh, my God. Do you remember the Aaron Spelling? It was about the clans. They had different clans of vampires, and it came on Fox. Someone look it up right now. Like, you guys suck. Vampire clan.
I mean, when you say Aaron Spelling, I just think of 90210. I can't think of
another
name. I didn't know he did a vampire show.
Yeah, it was a 90210 Vampires. It was total. Listen, Jamie, how often have I put you on to new stuff? Do not do me like this,
That's
Jamie.
True. That's true. You did. Okay, Vampire the Masquerade. Is that what you're talking
yes.
about?
Absolutely.
Yes.
That's it. That was an awesome, awesome show. That show was, imagine taking Dynasty and what, who mentioned Dallas? And making it vampires, and it was so awesome. I'm
wow.
such a girl right now. I'm going to shut up now. So, that,
wow.
yeah.
That was
what was the show?
Vampire,
what's the name of the show?
Vampire the Masquerade.
Okay.
Hmm.
I just Googled Aaron spelling vampire, and it came right up. So,
yep.
I would watch that, because I loved Dynasty and Dallas and those shows.
I did too, yeah.
If you're comparing that and saying that that's in the world of vampires, which I love, I would totally be on board with this. I have to.
One episode, and you're going to love it. Trust me. It's totally awesome. And nothing beats Barnabas Collins, by the way. Nothing beats that show. My mom watched it when she was a kid. And when Sci-Fi Network started running it, I think I was in, like, eighth grade. She's like, oh, you should watch this show. I was like, this corny-looking show. And so I watched it, and it was totally awesome. So for me, no, that's number one. True Blood is number two behind that. Dark Shadows is number one. Because without
Dark Shadows,
you don't get
yeah.
any of this stuff. You don't
yeah.
get any of this stuff. Dark Shadows was totally awesome.
That was the daddy.
When was that on the air? Because, I mean, my parents watched that too, but I don't. Was that on the air in the 70s or 80s?
70s.
No, the 60s.
It was the 60s? Okay. I watched the 70s ones.
Wow.
Please.
And what turned me on to Dark Shadows is I read the comic books. Long time ago, my mom, we went to different garage sales, and I would see comic books here and there, and I saw this Dark Shadows comic book. I don't remember the issue, but it was in the 70s when it was published. I was just like, wow, this is cool. And then come to find out there was a TV show about it, and I watched the TV series, and that was pretty good, too. So,
yeah
Dark 67, Shadows.
67, actually.
67.
No, 66, excuse me. 66, June of 66, June of 66.
And didn't it start off as, like, a radio show at first, and then it became a TV show?
Oh, wow. That I don't know. At that point, though, radio would have to been so far removed by the late 60s, so I can't say for a fact, but I'm not seeing anything like that. No, I don't see anything like that. But I could
okay.
be wrong. I could be wrong, Jamie.
I could be mistaken, too. I thought it might have been. But I know for a fact it was a comic book because I had them. So, yeah. Dark
and
Shadows.
I'll buy them off you if you still have them. I will buy them off you if you still have those.
I have to find those
bad boys.
Okay. Someone mentioned Godric. I completely forgot about Godric. He was awesome. He's another one I'd like to come back.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
He has kind of, sort of. Like, he kind of kept popping up in the conscience of Eric.
True. So we probably will see him in season 6.
I think so, too.
Yeah. So on Twitter, Leslie Mack says her vampire shows are Buffy, True Blood, Vampire Diaries, and Being Human, the UK version. And Belle Davis says that she loved Forever Night, Vampire Cop, awesome.
I remember Vampire Cop.
I don't remember that either.
No, that was Forever Night. Forever Night was a Vampire Cop.
Okay.
The show wasn't Vampire Cop. Station suckers left and right. Vampire Cop. No, it wasn't. It didn't happen.
So I had a discussion on Twitter with Ashley, and Ashley, I know you're live tweeting with us, so feel free to bring this up, or even if you want to call us, you can too. We were talking about the relationships with the black characters on True Blood and how they have the worst relationships compared to the white characters. Tara has had a stream of really bad relationships, and poor Lafayette, I mean, you know, he's had some bad issues with his ex, and
I just wanted to know, do you guys seem, does it seem like the black characters have the worst relationships on this show? Do you agree, disagree, or are we thinking too deep?
I mean, it may seem, because there's so few of them, so it seems, it's like out there. There's, you know, there's, I mean, you can count them on one hand how many black characters there are. So,
yeah.
You know, their situations are like right there in our face. So maybe if there was more of them, you know, maybe it might not seem such an issue. But, I mean, they do seem to have some of the worst situations as it relates to family, relationships, their own personal life. I mean, hell, they done been through hell and back again, it seems like. So.
I don't know. Sam is pretty messed up. He's a white character. I mean, from his family and his brother and his abusive dad and his drunk mother. And I guess the whole storyline with his shifter girlfriend and her stuff with her werewolf. It's hard in a universe with characters with that has vampires, werewolves, shifters, and fairies to focus on race.
Yeah.
At least for me. It's hard for me because they're even the vampires, to me, consider their allegiance is more to their race of vampires than to fellow black people. They're like, I'm a vampire. Whether or not I'm a black or a white vampire is irrelevant. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't think it's a black or white thing or anything like that. I think Lafayette just has really crappy luck, where Tara is kind of creates some of her own problems. I shouldn't say it like that. But a lot of her love issues, she's created them on their own, like her and Sam. Like, she started the stuff with them. I mean, there's only so much you can do with a hookup. And
right.
And then she was, her relationship with the, I can't think of that girl's name. She wasn't really that important.
Oh, yeah, the girl that showed up for one season for like 5 episodes and then left.
Yeah.
Important. And I kind of feel some kind of way about, like, I was talking to somebody on Twitter about Tara and Pam.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just don't see where that's just where I ran a hookup too. But I think a lot of problems with Tara made her own issues. And I do believe that Sam has kind of the crappiest luck on the show.
Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah. And people are tweeting about Tara. And yeah, in the book, Tara was actually white. And
wow, I'm learning something new.
Yeah, she was
white. Oh, yeah, she's definitely a white woman in the book.
I think they described her as olive-toned with dark hair. Does that ring a bell to you, Ramon?
No, you're absolutely right. And I was always intrigued by that. Like, but, yeah, they definitely described her of a darker Mediterranean variety. They definitely described her as that. And she would have been completely terrible in that character, in that light, because she had no depth. I mean, in the book, she ends up married to Hoyt. And they have a... Is it Hoyt? Does she have a baby with Hoyt? Who is it by?
I didn't read that far. I'm only at book five, so.
Oh.
Snap that.
Uh-oh. My bad.
I'm going to look it up, because I can't remember.
I should have made a spoiler alert.
She did have a baby in the book.
You know what? I've been hearing spoilers all week, so it's all good. Somebody just ruined Game of Thrones yesterday on Twitter. I'm just like, wow. Thank you for ruining that for me. Somebody told me about Joss's character and then another character. So I'm just like, thanks, dude. Thanks. But it's all good.
That's what I'm here for.
No, but I do want to finish up those books, and I know that there's a lot more going on with the characters. But they go in a completely different universe in the books than compared to the show. So hearing that, I'm not surprised. But still, Hoyt. Wow. Interesting. The Billa storyline, guys. Do you think they're going to carry this on in season 6, or do you think that they should just get rid of it altogether? Because a lot of people aren't a fan of it, but it seems like that's a very prominent storyline on this show so far.
I think they might do 25% of him and then have the other guy be the main bad guy. I don't see this like carrying on for the whole season. I hope not.
I think so, too. I think that it will probably take over the first part of the season, and then they have to switch storylines to add a different... Bill will come to his great awakening or whatever and figure out that what he believed about Lilith was wrong. Because to me, that's the only way that... Because you have to get people to have sympathy for him again.
Yeah.
Unless you're going to turn him into a different character.
Yeah.
That's true. I was kind of disappointed, too, with last season with Roman, played by Christopher Maloney. I was expecting him to be a little bit more... I didn't expect for him to be gone as quickly as he was. I thought he was going to stick throughout the seasons and even be a prominent character in the following season. So I was a little disappointed when they got rid of him. I love Christopher Maloney, so I don't know. I'm partial to that actor.
Yeah, he wasn't in there for too many episodes either.
No.
No.
Yeah, what was that about? I kind of felt like he was going to be there the whole season. They kind of pieced him out really quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah, because when they showed the promos for season 5, they showed him in a lot of those promos as, like, the main arch villain of the show, and then he was just, like, in a few episodes, and he was gone. And I was just like, no. I wanted to see what was going on. I kind of liked Roman, you know. He was one of the bad guys that you kind of like, the way some people feel about Russell, so... Oh, no.
Yeah.
I didn't think that Roman was that much of a bad guy. He was one of those guys who was, like, advocating, like, that there are rules for vampires, right? Because, like, Russell was totally into, like, this full chaos, and we're vampires, and we can eat who we want. And Roman is like, no, we've been around for all this millennia because there are rules, and blah, 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 which is why he got killed.
Yeah.
He decided to stick with that authority.
Yeah.
What do you guys think about what's going on with Jessica? Do you think that we'll see more with her character growing up and coming into her own, or?
Yeah.
I'd like to see her evolve.
Yeah.
I think they're actually going to give her more to do, like vampire world. You know what I mean? Like more for her to do instead of just kind of being a blue whiny. I shouldn't say it like that, but she's matured a lot from the first season that she was on.
And she's going to have to mature a lot. Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. You're the host. Oh. I'm just here. I'm in your world, sister.
No, I was just going to add that she kind of has to mature and step into her own because she doesn't have Bill anymore. Bill's on his own. Doing his Lilith thing. Yeah, he's all crazed and possessed now. So she's got to kind of take care of herself and do her own thing. So I hope to see more of a better story arc with her character in this season.
Yeah, and I hope she kind of gets attached more to, like, Pam and Eric and may become a better vampire, like a badass vampire compared to kind of, like, how Bill was teaching her.
Yeah. She is kind of wishy-washy.
Yeah,
I just want to see more Jessica, if that's okay. Like, I don't care what storyline they put her in, as long as she's on the screen.
Somebody upgrade her because she looks a lot better now.
I would agree.
Yeah. I don't know what. I think it might be her hair, too, because, like, they did something.
Listen, Long Tone Sally is all right with me, homegirl. Do you understand what I'm trying to tell you? Yes, little ginger snap. I'm giving you some ginger snap. Say it.
Oh, my God. Ginger snap.
Is it me or does it seem Arlene's hair gets redder and redder each season?
I know.
Yes.
It's like
it's obnoxious. It is obnoxious. I hate her. Like, wait, can we go back to that? Arlene's hair should die. in this season. If we can kill off a character, her hair is a character. Her hair should die. They should kill her hair this season. That's it. Arlene's hair, thank you. I didn't even think about that. Character should die, Arlene's hair. Book it, hashtag it, Google it. Make it so.
Wow. Wow. I didn't know you were that passionate about her hair.
Oh, my God. It is obnoxious. That dyed off is obnoxious. Ugh.
Yeah.
Yes. We totally noticed that it changes each season, so just
it
saying.
It does. Like, it was a lighter red, and then it was, like, blood red. No, it's weird.
What do you guys think about Steve Newland? He's coming back this season.
Oh,
crazy pastor.
Yeah, I'm good on him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm good on him.
Apparently his, I just do this today because I might pull it, so never mind.
Uh-oh, your phone cut out a little bit in here.
I was going to say, they said his wife, the woman that plays his wife is going to come back too. So I don't know what they're going to do with that.
Oh, she was in the plane.
Jason, that's all that Jason stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because it was a great story arc. That was probably the best storyline Jason has had. That for me,
that was
when Jason, oh, my God, I loved it.
Were they sleeping together or they did stuff?
No, they hooked up.
I know she was in
the
bathtub with him.
Yeah. I just thought he just got an HJ. Did he just get an HJ?
No, because they had sex in the church balcony, too.
Oh, they did.
They did. Okay. I just thought it was an HJ. My fault.
Oh, he went.
Shout out to the HJs.
Did you just say shout out to the HJs?
Yeah, I did. Shout out to the HJs. They're a living entity. You know what, Jamie? I'm sensing judgment from you tonight. I always thought BGN was a place where anyone can explore themselves and be true to who they are, Jamie. And right now, I am sensing judgment. Shout out to the HJs.
Boo. Oh, my God.
Oh, my goodness. So, yeah. Steve Newland will be back this season, and it should be interesting to see what's going on with his character. He's in love with Jason, apparently, now. So, I don't know. I don't know what that's about, why he's in love with Jason all of a sudden, but that was kind of random.
Yeah, I would agree.
Never mind. He's not all that hot.
In addition to Tara suddenly being a lesbian, which I have no problem with, like, the storyline. I was just like, so where did this come from? Like,
yeah. Well, my friend, she had a theory about Tara, from the beginning.
I can't pronounce
it. I don't know if it's Tara, but she had a theory about her from the beginning that she always thought she was a lesbian. There were certain cues about the way Tara reacted, and she was always sort of, I don't know, dismissive towards, not only towards men, but she was very attached to Sookie as well. And I forgot exactly.
I could see
what,
that, yeah.
What, yeah, I yeah. forgot what cues it was that she told me it was, but she always kind of had the inkling that, you know, Tara was gay. And then I think it was that following season, Tara hooked up with the other girl that lived in New Orleans and stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe this, you know, that's, she's a lesbian, which that's all right. You know.
Yeah, I know. It's just, to me, it was like I said, it just seemed kind of random. I was like, okay, that's new.
You guys are so reluctant with that. Like, it's okay.
No, and I'm not trying to say anything, you know, negative about that. I was just, I had an idea that Tara was, you know, someone that just was really all about eggs when they were together, because I really loved that relationship. So I was rooting the best for her, and then things didn't pan out with her and him, and then she kind of had something going on with Franklin, and that was kind of weird. And so I don't know. But she's a vampire now, so she's obviously going to be, you know, a very sexual progeny and be attracted to both men and women. So
Good for Tara.
maybe she might find some happiness.
Maybe, finally.
That's funny.
Pam, I think that Pam is very complicated too, because Pam, she loves women, we know that. Mm-hmm. But she also really loves Eric. Like, she pines after Eric like a sick little puppy dog, and it's kind of sad to see the way Eric just kind of dismisses her at a moment's notice, but she would give everything for Eric.
Yeah. Well, see, I never understood. Was that because she was in love with Eric, or was that the whole dynamics with the vampires and their progeny, like how they have this really intense relationship with the vampires they created?
Yes, agreed. Because look at how he felt about Godric. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, look at that. Like,
exactly.
I think that it's such a great relationship, and I don't know a lot about the homosexual community, but like some of the gay friends that I've had growing up and stuff, like you would, like the people that mentor them might have been also the people in the gay community that also was their first experience with it. So it's, you know, Alan, it's very strange, and I think that they have this all-around fatherhood, motherhood, respect, but love. It's a very strange, organic relationship, you know, like that you can try to put a label on. And I think that he's trying to illustrate that same thematic there. Please do not anyone attack me from the LGBT community. I'm not trying to do anything. And if you do, please send all mail to Jamie at blackgirlnerds.com.
Wow.
Send all of your LGBT hatred of the revolution to Jamie at blackgirlnerds.com. Thank you.
Oh, my Lord.
Thank you, Ramon. I love my LGBT, so I'm all.
So do I. I'm like 16th gay. Like, as far as, like, being, that's like a gelato. I'm like a gelato. Can I be a gelato? It's like gay and mulatto. But no, mulatto is a half, so I would be a Gatorade. I think I'll be a Gatorade. I'm creating words left and right tonight.
Sorry,
you know
all night creating words.
All night. All night, baby. All night. I'm going to shut up now.
On Twitter, Alge Augustine says, I have too many feelings about this podcast. I just might have to write an essay, LOL.
Okay. Hopefully that's a good thing.
And Dawn Gibson says, hesitancy with Tara as LGBT might be because it plays on a tired notion that women are lesbian because of trauma.
True.
And that's what I was wondering, too, that I was like, if they're suddenly throwing this in with no motivation or no backstory, then it doesn't explain, it kind of does the whole relationship or her change a disservice, you know what I mean? It's like, well, she's lesbian now. It's like, okay, but why? We're not going to explore that at all? Okay, never mind. That was my feeling.
Yeah. I think there's still, like, a lot of backstories to each of these characters that we just haven't tapped into yet, because, you know, we just get sort of the surface of each of these characters as they go along, because there's so many different characters and so many different storylines going on, and to fit that into 1 hour, it's hard to do. So hopefully we'll find out more about what's going on with Tara and, you know, and her love life. We shall see. So any ideas about, you know, any predictions, I should say, that you guys have for season 6? What do you think is going to happen?
Wow.
What do you think is going to happen tonight?
Oh, wow.
I don't even know if I want to predict anything, so I don't hurt
my
feelings.
Yeah, you can't. Yeah, I would look like a bigger moron than I already look. That's why I just want to know what happens. I'm excited. We have a half hour. I just can't wait. I can't wait.
Do you think there's going to be any deaths in this episode? There's been some rumors on the internet.
Yeah, I can see it happening.
Yeah.
I think so. I don't know who, but
yeah.
I don't think it'll be any main characters. I can't see them doing a season opener. I mean, it's not Game of Thrones, so I can't see them doing a season opener and, like, killing off major people.
Yeah. Definitely. And by the way, isn't the little girl that's the werewolf, isn't she adorable as a baby werewolf? The shifter?
Yeah. Yes.
She's the most adorable baby pup I've ever seen. So I hope she's going to be okay as well. With that
story. Well, see, and that was the other thing that when the poop hit the fan with Eric, I was like, so what's going to happen with the little girl and getting rescued? Is all that going to turn out okay, or are they going to make it out?
That's the thing. It's just like so much going on there.
Mm-hmm.
But we shall see. And then Akito Harada, she says, seeing all the BGM podcast True Blood tweets makes me wish I could actually afford a HBO subscription on HBO.
All she needs to do is find someone that has HBO and get their password and go to HBO Go.
That's what I used to do with one of my girlfriends at work. She didn't have HBO, and I just gave her my password to get into HBO On Demand Go. You can watch it on your phone. You can watch it on your iPad. So.
It's great.
Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm.
Any last thoughts before we wrap up? We're about 3.5 minutes into the end of our podcast here.
Well, besides the fact y'all really cracked me up tonight.
The HJ, which I still don't know what HJ
is. Oh, you won't figure
it out. Are you serious? No, you're not.
I do. No, I do. I do.
You said keep it PG. Come on.
I know. Well, awesome, guys.
Yeah,
well, thank you. Go ahead.
Awesome.
Go ahead, Ramon.
Oh,
say your last line.
It's awesome. It's awesome, and I can't wait. Thank you all for joining Jamie and us on the Black Girl Nerds podcast tonight. It was totally awesome. True Blood up next.
True Blood up next, 9 o'clock Eastern Time. I'll be on Twitter. I have a feeling I'll be in Twitter jail since I've retweeted a lot of our tweets through the BGM podcast. But I will do my best to be on and live tweet with you guys. Next week, Sunday night, 7 o'clock, we have a guest on our podcast. Her name is Shaquetta Smith. She is the director of a film called The Takeover. It's a comedy about two women, one white, one black, and they trade bodies. So it's one of those body switch movies. Remember from the 80s, like a lot of those body switch movies that came out? This is a body switch movie between two women, black and white, and sort of the trials and tribulations and the fun adventures that they go through. So Shaquetta is going to talk to us about her film on our next week podcast. So thank you, Brittany. Thank you, Ramon. Thank you, Shelley. Thank you, Grace, for being a part of this amazing podcast about True Blood. I think we covered
problem.
A lot of fun
no
stuff.
Problem. It was fun.
It really
Indeed.
Was. All right. Tune in tonight, 9 o'clock, True Blood, everybody. Take care. Bye.
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 Came in, the air went out, and every shadow filled up with doubt. I don't know who you think you are, but before the night is through, I wanna do bad things with you. I'm the kind to sit up in his room, heart sick and eyes filled up with blue. thing.